Well, good afternoon. We're going to try to move this along fairly quickly because it's hot out here. Real quick, last Friday, same place, same location, I came out here to say that I was going to focus all of my efforts, all of my resources, all of my network on unseating the three Supreme Court justices up for retention on the November 2 ballot. And the reason I said that is because April 3, 2009, they clearly legislated from the bench by saying Iowa will be a same-sex marriage state. It is not their place to legislate from the bench. It is only the legislature's place to make law, not the Supreme Court's place to make law. They executed from the bench by saying all 99 counties will follow suit. They do not get to execute from the bench. Only the governor of Iowa has the executive authority, and so we need to hold this court in check. They even attempted to amend the Constitution of the state of Iowa, and they said we're going to hold up the Iowa's Constitution to an evolving standard. They do not get to evolve our Constitution. Only we, the people, get to amend and evolve our Constitution. I'm thrilled to say that since Friday, I've had a lot of individuals who represent a variety of coalitions join our team, join our effort, as they see this about marriage, but they also see this about every other freedom, whether it's our Second Amendment right, our 10th Amendment right, whether it's private property, how we educate our kids, business and industry, tax policy. But if we allow them to make law in this case, every one of our freedoms is up for grabs. That is why we have decided to launch a formal campaign starting today called Iowa for Freedom. This will be a grassroots campaign that is focused with staff and with volunteers to engage all Iowans, to embrace our freedoms afresh and anew, and to provide the checks and balances that our founders put in place, such as the retention process, to hold these judges accountable and to vote all three off the Supreme Court island come November 2. Yeah. One last thing from my end. Iowa's motto is our liberties we prize and our rights we will maintain. The whole focus of Iowa for Freedom and in this retention election is to really embrace our liberties and our rights. And we will preserve our liberty and we will protect our rights by voting no on November 2 on retaining these three Supreme Court justices. With that, I've asked a couple of people to share just briefly as individuals of different coalitions. The first will be Pastor Brad Sherman from Coralville to talk about why the pastors of the state of Iowa need to be involved. Brad Sherman.
Well, our message hasn't really changed. For over 5,000 years of world history, for over 230 years of American history, and for over 150 years of Iowa history, marriage has been defined as the union between a man and a woman, a male and a female. But as Bob was saying, the highest court in Iowa has chosen to ignore that history. They've chosen to strike down Iowa's defense of marriage law and legislate from the bench and establish their opinion as law. Now, even more recently, over 800 pastors and church leaders from around the state signed petitions affirming their support of traditional marriage and disagreeing with the opinion of this court. So what we're going to be doing, I and others, are going to be working with pastors and church leaders around the state to, in this effort, to vote no in November, on the November ballot, to retain these judges. Now, what we need in Iowa are judges who uphold the Constitution, as Bob was saying. We don't need ideologues who have an agenda. And I think that's what we probably have right now. So, bottom line is, these judges have had their chance, they've blown it, and they need to go. And it's hot today, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Pastor Sherman, and everybody thanks you for being much more limited in your speech than me. And someone else who needs no introduction is private citizen from Winterset, also a state representative, who's been a champion for private property rights and many other rights. Please welcome my friend and state representative, Ms. Jody Timison.
Thank you. I'm here today to lend my support to this effort called Iowa for Freedom. And I'm here to talk directly to Iowans, because for me, this is about Iowans and the choice that Iowans have. Iowans, your vote is what holds elected officials accountable. And your vote is the only way to hold unelected judges accountable. But for me, this issue is larger than the definition of marriage. It's about the constitutional process. And I've been sworn to uphold the Constitution since 1974, so this is very, very important to me. My personal passion, or one of my personal passions, is private property rights. It's an issue in my district. It's an issue all across this state, where people are having to fight their own government, to keep their own private property. Now, we've already seen the United States Supreme Court trample on private property rights with the Kelo decision. Iowa passed a first step, eminent domain law, to help protect private property rights. But if we don't stay vigilant in Iowa on our rights, Kelo could happen here. So that's why I'm here today. Only the legislative branch can make law. Only the people can amend the Constitution. If, in fact, the court could make law, when they struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, law should have reverted back to what it was previous to DOMA. And you all know that same-sex marriage was not legal before DOMA was passed. It should have reverted to that law instead of a new law. The court cannot make new law. But as I said, this is bigger than marriage. It's about all of your rights. It's about the constitutional process, and Iowans, you are the only ones that can protect it. Thank you.
Thank you to Brad and to Jody. And just real quickly before I take any questions, after the press conference on Friday, a former Supreme Court justice was quoted in one of the papers that says, These people, meaning Bob Vanderplaats and anybody else who seems to probably think or believe like I do, these people just don't understand middle school civics. And they don't understand the supremacy clause. Well, here's what I know, is that when people go outside their jurisdiction, it is our right to hold them in check and to hold them accountable. And we're going to do that on November 2. Here's what I know. That the Supremacy Clause isn't meant to say the Supreme Court is supreme. The Supremacy Clause is to say the Constitution is supreme, and it'll be the arbitrator of everything. So that is what we're sticking to, is to the Constitution. I'm excited to become the state chair for Iowa for Freedom, and we're going to work diligently, and we're going to be crystal clear in our focus as we go after three judges on this ballot. And I believe when we do this in Iowa, it'll send a ripple effect across the country, and it'll give hope to the people in California, it'll give hope to the people in Arizona and across the country that you can hold courts in check.
Yes, we can.
With that, let me take any questions.
How much are you going to spend? How big is the staff going to be? And what's your chance of getting it through?
Well, I think our chance of getting it through is very good. We right now, Mike, have the resources to run a very effective grassroots campaign. However, we're under no illusion that we will not be outspent. Matter of fact, we are prepared to be significantly outspent. We're going to raise as much as we can to fight this battle, but we don't have a set budget in mind, nor do we have a set dollar amount right now. But we are going to run a grassroots effort, and as it's blessed, we're going to continue to mount that charge all the way up to November 2.
You suggested to me that you could spend up to $2 million. Is that a realistic figure?
I hope you're right.
Well, is it realistic?
I don't know if it's realistic right now. Right now, we do not have $2 million. We do not have $2 million in the bank. I know the other side is saying that we've already have that identified. We have the funds to run a very good grassroots campaign, a dynamic grassroots campaign that can provide office, that can provide staff, and that can engage a lot of volunteers throughout the state, which I think we're in need to do in order to win this battle. Everything else, we're going to have to see what comes in, but I think a lot of people are going to take this serious. I'm going to encourage everybody to go to iowaforfreedom.com, sign up, donate, and let's get this job done. What we're gonna, what we'll do, Kay, is that we'll abide by all the reporting laws that we have, and when we have that opportunity to report and meet those deadlines, then you'll see the resources that we've taken in as well as the resources that we've expended.
Can you tell us how the group was organized, State PAC 527?
You know, Craig, that's a really good question. And what it is, we've been in close consultation with legal representatives as well as with the Campaign Ethics and Disclosure Board, because quite frankly, something like this isn't done every day. So I believe right now the best I can answer that question is that it'll either be established as a PAC or as an independent expenditure committee. I believe that's the way it will be, so we follow those reporting guidelines. But we're working very closely, because we will be assured to dot all I's and cross all T's in this process.
Has the National Organization for Marriage pledged their support to your effort?
The National Organization for Marriage, I've only been in contact with one of their representatives, and that was on another issue. We talked briefly about this. Obviously, they're very supportive. That has not materialized into finances, though, as of yet.
Your original website was paid for by the American Association, or American Family Association.
You know, basically what they knew that we were under a short timeline, and we had to get things up and going. So basically, yeah, they did help us provide the website to get up and running.
Governor Branstad said today that he's not going to take a stance on this issue of the judges' retention, that he'll leave it to people in their consciences to decide how to vote on this. What is your response to him saying that?
Well, I think my response to that is I am going to take a stand. And I think there's a lot of other people that are going to take a stand, and they're going to let their voices be heard. I think every individual is free to respond in a manner in which they choose. So if that's his choice, that's his choice. But we are going to take a stand. We're stepping intentionally into the crosshairs of this battle and of this fight, because we believe it is worth fighting, and we believe it is worthwhile winning, not only to restore traditional marriage, but to restore our separation of powers as well.
How do you think that'll affect the governor's election?
You know, I don't know. And I'm out of that race, so I'm not quite so sure it's fair for me to comment on that.
What role, if any, is the Iowa Family Policy Center gonna take?
Right now, Lynn, is this mic off, by the way?
Yeah.
All right, maybe it's out of battery. Maybe it's saying it's hot, guys. When I mentioned in my earlier remarks, we have a lot of individuals from a lot of organizations who are very, very supportive of this initiative. However, quite frankly, I didn't ask them to go to their boards and say, you know, champion this with us. I mean, come on board right away with us. We want everybody to work together here, and to do what they can in a manner that they see fit. So I'm assuming that the Iowa Family Policy Center, that this would be in a sweet spot of theirs, but I believe it's also in the sweet spot of the Iowa Christian Alliance, Iowa Right to Life, the Iowa Gun Owners Association, private property individuals, business and industry individuals. I think there's a lot of people who are very concerned about their freedoms being at stake. And I really think, and I said this Friday as well, so I don't mean to be redundant, but what happened in California, where one activist judge tried to overturn the votes of 7 million citizens, I think every citizen in America should be awakened to that. when you have immigration likely to be decided by a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, out of, you know, when Arizona's governor and legislature decided that. That's why, you know, I see somebody here from the Minuteman Patriots. I mean, their individuals from that group is very active in this. This is about a freedom issue, and courts for too long have been taking power that isn't theirs. The legislature makes the law, the executive branch executes the law, and we, the people, get to amend the Constitution. And we're still a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, and that's why you see these individuals out here today. I think what this campaign will be is it will revel in its simplicity, and because of its simplicity, it will acquire a broad-based coalition. The simplicity is the court stepped out of bounds, three judges are up for reattention. You don't have to choose which one you vote no on all three of them. And if you're really concerned about your freedom, whether it's your Second Amendment or your First Amendment or your 10th Amendment, or the way you educate your kids, or private property, anything else, you want to get involved in this effort. And that's why my inbox is full. That's why my emails are unbelievable right now of saying, count me in, I'm with you.
Can you explain how this will actually fit the problem, or fix the problem of the courts overstepping their bounds? I understand it'll punish the three judges that do it, but how does it fix the problem? It seems like we have a leaky roof, and this is a bucket.
Well, I believe, and I've said this before, Craig, that I believe the grand slam is this. The grand slam, number one, is for the citizens' voice to be heard this fall and vote these three justices off the Supreme Court. I think that's step number one. Step number two is I really like to entertain a conversation again with the governor of Iowa about the rationale behind an executive order to hold an out-of-control court in check. Three is, I think the legislature, especially if we get a Republican legislature, they ought to take a look at reaffirming DOMA without judicial review. If the court's going to overstep their bounds on this thing, maybe you need to hold them in check, as we the people. And number four is, then I think we need to take a look at another way that we appoint Supreme Court justices in the state of Iowa. I think this is a big issue. I think this is one step of maybe a myriad of steps of holding a court in check. Lynn, you've been around this long enough. Every politician wants to raise as much money as they can. You know, it's obviously, those are the bullets in our chamber. And so we're going to try to raise as much money from as many people as we can to basically fund a dynamic grassroots campaign. And if we can do media, we're going to do media. But we are going to target every dollar in a very strategic manner to be successful in November 2 in getting these three justices unseated. Everything will be disclosed, as I told Kay at that point. That's a good question. I should ask. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out on a very, very warm day. I believe we're down to 82 days until this vote is taken place. We look forward to seeing you as we travel the state and engaging all Iowans for freedom. Thank you so much.